الله الرحمن الرحيم عن جابر رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول أفضل الذكر لا إله إلا الله رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن هذا جابر رضي الله عنه narrates that I heard رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم saying the best of dhikr is لا إله إلا الله which means there is no deity worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is meant by this is this zikr of the kalima is the most virtuous, the greatest zikr of Allah, the greatest zikr that a person can make of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? This is the fundamental kalima, these are the fundamental words that bring a person into faith, that bring a person into deen. And the beauty of this kalima la ilaha illallah is it's so deep as far as iman is concerned. That it's got negation and it's got affirmation. Negation, la, starting with la. That there is nothing, there is no God, there is no deity, nothing, absolutely nothing. Your heart must become empty, that there is nothing that can benefit me, there is nothing that can harm me, there is nothing that can bring any kind of happiness to me, there is nothing that can bring any sadness to me, there is nothing that can bring any type of rosy to me, there is nothing that can bring any sickness to me, there is nothing that can bring any good health to me, there is nothing that can grant me children, there is nothing that can grant me friends, there is nothing that can grant me enemies, there is nothing that can grant me anything illallah except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He wants, He will grant these things. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want, these things will never ever come. A person can try as much as he wants. If he doesn't have children, he'll never get children. A person can try as much as he wants. If Allah Pak does not want to give him health, he won't get health. A person can try as much as he wants. If Allah Pak doesn't want to increase his rozi, Allah Pak doesn't want to give him any barakat in his business, in his income. As much as he'll try, but he won't get it. La ilaha illallah. In other words, every single thing is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first part of the kalima is we completely negate, we create a complete void, emptiness. There is absolutely nothing except Allah. The person brings this and then he'll become now and constantly, therefore we are encouraged to read this kalima at least 100 times daily. And you'll find that many mashayikh from amongst the adhkar they will prescribe that la ilaha kalima will always be there. Always be there. Such a powerful kalima we've got. And sometimes we don't take out time to ponder, reflect, what is the meaning of this kalima. So therefore it's afdalu dhikri la ilaha illallah. Ponder over the meaning that absolutely nothing can do anything for me except Allah. Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هذا حديث عن عبد الله بن بسر رضي الله عنه أن رجلا قال يا رسول الله إن شرائع الإسلام قد كثرت علي فأخبرني بشيء أتشبث به قال لا يزال لسانك رطبا من ذكر الله رواه الترمذي. هذا عبد الله بن بسر رضي الله عنه. He says that a person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the commandments and the laws of Islam are too many for me. Tell me something which I can hold on to, I can cling on to, I can adhere to. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, keep your tongue moist with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What this means is this sahabi came up to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his question was that as far as the faraz and as far as the wajibat are concerned, this we all have to do. But from the optional actions, there are so many different optional actions. Which optional action I can hold on to that will suffice me from doing all the other optional actions? Show me something. What a beautiful question. There are so many things I can do as far as the optional actions are concerned. Show me something that I can cling on to, I can hold on to, that will suffice me from doing anything else. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that keep your tongue moist with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One more hadith. عن جابر رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من قال سبحان الله وبحمده غرست له نخلة في الجنة. حضرت جابر رضي الله عنه narrates that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that person that says سبحان الله وبحمده, so simple, سبحان الله وبحمده, which means that glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all praise be to Him, what will happen? غُرِسَتْ لَهُ نَخْلَةٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. A date tree has been planted for him in Jannah. just for saying Subhanallah wa bihamdi. And don't think that this date tree is like the date tree of the dunya, just a simple palm tree, something like that, very simple. Actually, the tree of Jannat is so beautiful that the trunk of each tree will be gold or green emerald, and its branches will be red gold. Its fruit will be the size of huge drums, and they will be sweeter. The fruit will be sweeter than honey, softer than cream, and will have no seeds or pits that where a person may choke in also. All that person that Subhanallah wa bihamdi, a tree like this has been planted in Jannah for him. And let us ask ourselves, have we got time to waste in this dunya? Have we got time to waste with our cell phones? Have we got time to waste watching sports? Have we got time to wait just playing cards or meeting in the club with some friends? Is there time for that? In one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that after a person enters Jannah, لَيْسَ يَتَحَسَّرُ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ سَاعَةٍ مَرَّتْ بِهِمْ وَلَمْ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَىٰ فِيهَا. That when the Jannatis enter Jannah, they will see the glitz, the glamour, the beauty, the enjoyment of Jannah. Can you imagine what a feeling that will be? That all this is there for them, but yet they'll have one regret. One regret, what? Those moments that they spent without remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And unfortunately, this is a problem today. So much of time is getting wasted on the WhatsApp. So much of time. People are complaining all the time that we are getting confused. Our time is getting consumed. We can't find time for tahajjud salah. We can't find time for our zikr. We can't find time for tilawat of Quran. Our mind seems to be consumed. Even in our namaz, we are thinking of those things that we read just before namaz on the phone. Those messages that had come in. So all the time we are in a state of confusion. We're not finding the purity of heart. We're not finding the purity of mind. Remember something, this is the outcome of reading too much. When there is an information overload, then this is what happens, it creates confusion. And this is Shaitan's one style of attack. Shaitan is a very, very old operator. He's operating from the time of Adam alayhi salam. So all the tricks in the trade he knows. He knows how to get this insan away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of his tricks is to create shak and shubah. Shak means to create doubt, shubah to create confusion. So an easy way to do it is, in the name of Islam, send thousands of articles, different articles to that one person. Now he suddenly gets that information overload, he doesn't know how to handle it. And Allah Pak has made us such that the average person, forget the average person, even the learned people, they are unable to handle an information overload. In one ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the munafiqeen, what they would do? They would do this also. They would spread rumors, send out information. And what happened is, some of the Sahaba, they would hear that information and now they will take it and they would spread it to the masses. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayat of the Quran, وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِّنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوِ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَىٰ أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِتُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. That in messages or in situations of fear and war, that these people are sending out those messages. These munafiqeen are sending out those messages. وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَىٰ أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ. If only those messages could be relayed to the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and people in administrative authority. To those two people these messages should have gone to. Nobody else, it shouldn't have spread amongst the public. لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِتُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. Those people that were in the position to make istimbat, that we're in the position to decipher that what is haq, what is true, what is right, what is not right, they would have known what is the haq. They would have been able to take it, they would have been able to appreciate that there's all this flood of information, all the flood of rulings coming from all over the world. We are in the administrative authority, we are in the position to decipher what is this message, whether it's correct, it's incorrect. And now they in turn would take, and what's necessary they would relay to the public. This is what the ayat is saying. وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ. If only they took that information and took it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or had taken it to the administrative authority. لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِتُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. Unfortunately, this is the thing we're seeing today. And the masses are just getting confused and confused. People are getting messages, people are getting rulings from all over the world, and they're sending it to the public, and the average layman doesn't know what to accept, what not to expect, what not to accept, where do I take my direction from, and this is one of the harms. Shaitan is very, very intelligent. It's coming to us in the form that this is something deeni. But in the behind the scene, Shaitan is creating what in our hearts? Shak and Shubha. He's creating doubt. Remember something, when there is Shak and there is Shubha, then automatically the person's yaqeen is affected. When his yaqeen in an action is affected, then his amal in that action also is affected. So before a person would do an action so confidently that I had heard something from an alim, from my senior, from my ustad, I followed this my whole life, suddenly I'm getting a volley of opinions coming from all over the world, saying other things, now I'm getting confused. So this is one downside of this WhatsApp. Hazrat Mawla Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali, he would say that the ulama would always mention that four things should be done less. The first is qillat kalam, let's speak less. The next thing is qillat ikhtilat, let's mix less with people. These first two things, automatically when a person is in a WhatsApp group, automatically he ends up speaking more, automatically he ends up mixing more. He doesn't realize it, he's thinking, I'm just giving my opinion, I'm just giving my view. He doesn't realize that he's talking. This is a speech. So automatically qillat kalam is off. Qillat ikhtilat, he's mixing all the time with those people in the group. He's not even realizing but how much of ikhtilat he's making. He may be in quarantine, he may be in isolation, wherever he may be, but he's mixing all the time from a ruhani side. He doesn't even realize this. And the four next two things he mentioned that the ulama would say, but actually in our time and age, ulama say that people are weak. So these last two things, even if people don't make do less of, but they do it within reason, it's okay. That is qillat manam and qillat ta'am. That a person sleeps less and a person eats less. But in this time and age, people are weak. Even if they eat a little bit extra, no problem. Even if they sleep a good amount of sleep, there is no problem. People of the past, they could manage. But these first two things are very, very important for us. Qillat kalam, speak less. Mix less. Spend less time in the groups. We don't know what harm is causing. And we are not in that position to understand, and we are not in a position to take the view of every person. In Abu Dawud Sharif, there's two hadiths. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked the same question, but he gave two different answers. One old person came and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that may I kiss my wife whilst fasting? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him the fatwa that it's permissible for you to kiss your wife whilst fasting. A young person came and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam the same question. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him a different answer. He told him, for you it's not permissible to kiss your wife whilst fasting. Now we might, if a person just posted this, person just heard this, that it's permissible to kiss his wife, and he gave a general ruling, now what we understand that this will be wrong. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he considered the circumstance, he considered the halat, he considered the situation, and then he gave the verdict. So like that, many times from different parts of the world, the specific halat of that country is considered, the specific conditions are considered, and then a ruling is given. If a person is just going to go and take rulings from here, rulings from there, opinions from here, opinions from there, all he's going to do is he's going to confuse himself, because he doesn't know under what conditions, what halat, what specific reasons that ruling was given. And a very easy thing for us to do, very, very simple thing for us to do, and what our ulama are telling us all the time, is take from one person. You'll find that this person will be at such ease and such happiness, that I got my one sheikh, I got my one ustad, from him I take everything, I don't look beyond it. And one other ill effect of this, posting and reading things from around the world, is we end up losing respect for our local ulama. Our local seniors will end up losing respect. Why? We're reading rulings that are conflicting with them. And now that level of yaqeen, this is a trick of shaitan, that lose confidence in your ulama. Once you lose confidence in your ulama, day after anything they say, you are very reluctant to accept. Why that confidence in your ulama is lost? So this is another thing that we have to be very careful of, is don't ever read anything that will start contradicting our ulama, that confidence would be lost. Our buzruks, when they would travel, when they would be invited as a guest of honor to any town, they will come to that town, but that local imam, they'll end up praising him so much, they'll end up telling the community that this is the person that you need to take from. In other words, don't get carried away. I'm just a guest here, I'm a guest of honor. Don't get carried away with me. This is your man, this is your person. Have your yaqeen and your faith in your alim, in your sheikh. Don't go everywhere else. Therefore, one person was going to Makkah al-Mukarrama, and he came to meet Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. So Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali gave him this advice. He said, bhai, with that iman that you are going from here for Hajj, with that iman that you are going, you come back with that same iman. In other words, you're going to meet so many people there. You're going to hear different people talking, you're going to hear different things. Don't let that affect your iman. Don't let that affect your yaqeen in what you've been hearing here from us, from me or from whoever he was taking. He was taking, it was taluq with Mawlana. So Mawlana was telling him that don't let that affect you. Because very often when we are reading the opinions of different people, different personalities, then we lose respect for our own ulama. And another downside of this chatting and getting engrossed in WhatsApp chats is often respect is lost. Respect is lost for our seniors. Respect is lost for our elders. Respect is lost for ulama. Why? It's so easy just to type and type and type. It's so easy. A person loses that respect. So remember something, that the safe thing we can do is take from one alim. Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, I'll end up on this. It's a very important thing, therefore I'm mentioning this. People all the time are coming to complain that we're in a state of turmoil and confusion. Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, such a great alim, mujaddidi millat, hakimul ummat. Over 1,000 kitabs he wrote. Can you imagine what work Allah took from him? And so many different discourses, bayanat, and advices he gave. So a person came and asked him, Hazrat, that we see so many things flowing, beautiful things flowing from your tongue, so many advices flowing from your tongue that we don't see from any other alim. How is it possible? Now, Buzrugs, when they asked a question like this, when he refers to himself, they would never give or they'll never praise themselves. But because he saw this person was genuine, this person was asking with such earnestness, he replied and he told him, Mumkin hai ke aqeedat ke wajah se, that on the, because of aqeedat, aqeedat means that I had absolutely complete reliance on my sheikh. I didn't need to look at the ulama of Australia, I didn't need to look at the ulama of America, I didn't need to look at the ulama of Nigeria, the ulama of UK. I had my sheikh there, Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahmatullah alayh, my complete reliance on what he had to say. So to understand what this aqeedat is apna rai ko fana kar do. That whatever opinion I got, I annihilate, I destroy my own opinion, and the opinion of my ustad, the opinion of my sheikh is my opinion. And how to get this in our life? The first stage is with takalluf, where a person has to push himself. His nafs don't want to accept the opinion of his sheikh. It's going against what I'm thinking. It's going against what my heart is saying. A person will have to force himself that my sheikh has said this. This is for an arm person, average person like me and you. We have to force ourselves that our sheikh has said this. It's our interest for us to accept it and move on. Wear the blinkers. Don't look left. Don't look right. Don't get carried away by what the whole world is saying. This is good for us. We got a sheikh a kamil, a person that is directing us in the right path. Accept what he's saying. So the first part will be with takalluf, a person who will force himself to accept the opinion of his sheikh. And the next step is now, it will become tab'i, it will become adi, it will become part of a person's life, that what his sheikh is now saying, automatically he'll start accepting it. He had to go through that first phase, where he had to force himself to accept what his sheikh is saying, what his ustad is saying. So this is what Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi was saying, that aqeedat ke wajah se, that whatever my ustad said, I accepted it. I didn't fight, I didn't argue, I didn't try and convince him of some other opinion. What he said is what I accepted. And one occasion he was asked that so many kitabs you have written, as I said, over 1,000 kitabs, that how many sources you referred to? You must have referred to so many different sources, different parts of the world. He said, no, I only referred to 4 people. I referred to Hazrat Shaykhul Hind rahmatullah alayhi, my ustad. I referred to my ustad Mawlana Yaqub Nanoti rahmatullah alayhi. I referred to Haji Umdadullah Muhajir Makki rahmatullah alayh, and I referred to Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullah alayh. These were my 4 sources, all on one line. I referred to my ustads and I moved on. There was no need for me to look left, look right, and how much of barakat Allah Pak took from his writing. So really, if we want barakat in our life, we want barakat in our a'mal, we want barakat in our actions, this is the way to do it. That take from one person and take properly. Don't have any doubts, don't entertain any doubts. Therefore we find Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullah alayh, that he quotes this tabi' Muhammad bin Sirin rahmatullah alayh, very important saying, that he said, "Inna hadha al-ilma deenun," this knowledge of ilm, this knowledge that you've got, this is your deen. "Fanzuru amman ta'khudhuna deenakum," be very, very, very careful who you're taking your deen from. Not every post on the WhatsApp is your deen. Not every post is coming from a reliable source. Not every post is correct. فَانْزُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. Be very, and this was the time of the Tabi'in, in the Khairul Qurun, he's mentioning in the best of errors, he's telling them that be very, very careful who you're taking your deen from. This is our hifazat. So if we want to be protected, especially in this time and age, see what beautiful hadith we did. Rather we spend the time saying one subhanallah bihamdi, we got one golden date palm in Jannat. If we're going to waste the time on the phone, we're going to get nothing out of it. And end of the day, we're going to get only the noor of ilm gone. Great person, Abu Hazim mentioned that a person that disputes as far as these things are concerned, يَذْهَبُ بِنُورِ الْعِلْمِ. The only thing that will happen is the noor of knowledge will be taken away from him. We don't have time for that. Why do we want the noor of ilm to be taken away from our hearts? Leave all the disputes. People want to dispute, let them dispute. The better thing for us to do is rather engage ourselves in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this lies our hifazat. In this lies our protection in this world and in the year after. So understand, this is a trick of shaitan. This is the way of shaitan. Why do we need to fall in his trick? To be forearmed is to be forewarned is to be forearmed. That we know that this is a trick of shaitan to deceive us and doubt us. Take from one person, hold on to one person, we'll find hifazat in every aspect of our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.